Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will be about travel or understanding various locations. In this special series, I'm focusing on a part of Quebec Canadian history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les Filles du Roi, or the King's Daughters. In this series, I'll be focusing on individual biographies so that we can get to know as many of these amazing women as we can. Please let me know in the comments below if there's one feature in particular you are interested in, and I'll try to move her to the front of the line. And as always, please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, click on the notifications alert, and like this video. All of that helps me. All right, let's get started. The Filles du Roi was a program started by Jean Talon in 1663. I go into this in great detail in a video entitled Les Filles du Roi 2.0, the program. And in that video, you will see all of the ins and outs of the program, how the girls were recruited, how they came across, how they selected husbands, all of that good stuff. I would urge you to get that video under your belt, just so that you have kind of like a baseline of understanding what your ancestor went through. Let's get to know who we're looking at today. Her name is Françoise Desportes, and she is my 8 times great grandmother. Where was Françoise from? Françoise was born in 1652 in Saint-Nicolas-des-Champs, which is a church found in the city of Paris, France. Her father was Jean Desportes, and her mother's name was Isabelle de Gribreuse. It is a Catholic. The church where she was baptized dates from the 12th century. And she was born in the area of Paris known as the 3rd arrondissement, which is found on the right bank of the River Seine. It's referred to as Temple or Temple. This sector dates back to the Middle Ages and is the second smallest of Paris's sections or arrondissements. Among the notable facts about this sector is that it's here where you can find the oldest surviving private house in Paris, built in 1407. Definitely something I want to see. Imagine that that house stood when Françoise was a small child. I love to think of that. And just amazing history in this particular part. There is also an ancient Jewish quarter which dates back to the 13th century and an important part of the Jewish history in Paris. So when does Françoise leave? She left when she was about 17. She was aboard the Jean Baptiste ship, and she carried about 200 pounds worth of goods. Her father had passed away, and this was really a chance for her to make a new life. Now, the first groom Françoise selected was François Daniel, but it was an old. A mere 2 weeks later, she selected another groom, Pierre-André Renaud, dit Loca. And he was born in 1641 in Quarca, Languedoc, in France. This area was found in the historical province of Languedoc in the south of France, near the city of Béziers. It is renowned for its yearly bullfights and its incredible history. Béziers was founded in 565 BC, and it's only second to Marseille in France for being the oldest city in that country. It's now a prominent part of the winemaking region of France. I've included what I believe to be the ruins of the church mentioned in Peter Gagne's excellent book, Les Filles du Roi, and Saint-Martin de Carcaille, which is presumably where Pierre was baptized. He was the son of Jean Renaud and Marie Laurence. He arrived in New France on the ship L'Aigle d'Or, which literally means the golden needle, on the 8th of August, 1665, as part of the Carignan soldiers, and his company was called Grand Fontaine. Now, he's there from 1665 on, and Pierre and Françoise were married in Quebec City in November 1669. This would mean that Pierre had a good 4 years to build enough money and a home, presumably, while he waited to choose a bride. Françoise and Pierre André first settled at Sillery, Quebec. Sillery is now one of the boroughs of Quebec City, but for well over three centuries, it was its own independent city. In 2002, Sillery, along with other small cities, was amalgamated into the larger region of Quebec City. Sillery was first established as Canada's first Indian reserve. It was first named St. Joseph, and the money for establishing this first settlement was provided by Noël Brulard de Sillery. Unfortunately, the native population fell victim to disease and other issues, and the reserve failed. The town was eventually named in honor of its benefactor and named Sillery, and would become an important player in Quebec's lumber industry. On the upper left of your screen is a picture of Sillery's riverfront, which is amazing. I've included a map of where Sillery is in location to Quebec City and all of that, and also what part of Quebec City it now is on the upper top right. On the bottom right is the Maison des Jesuites de Sillery, or the Jesuits House of Sillery. A fort was created here in the mid-1600s and would have been present during François and Pierre André's time. This actual house was the one built after the fort burnt down twice, and dates from about 1603 to 1630 for the construction. Eventually, François and Pierre André relocate to Grandet, which is halfway between Quebec City and Trois-Rivières. It's located on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River. The name Grandet was named by Samuel de Champlain himself. Grandet is from the French verb to gronder, meaning to rumble or roar. And the large number of flats of large pebbles, which were found in the lake, just at the riverfront, when it's windy, the waters made a great noise. The Seigneurie of Grandet was granted to the nuns of Hôtel Dieu in 1646 by Charles Huet de Montmagny, governor of New France. In 1672, the Seigneurie of Grandet was extended, and Françoise and Pierre-André were among the first settlers after the establishment of the Church of Saint-Charles de Grandet in 1680. In the 1681 census, they are enumerated as living in Grandet. You will note that there are only three children listed, whereas we have established five. This is one of those things where we need to acknowledge that errors could have been made or omissions of children. That happens in much more recent censuses. So I imagine that in 1681, if older children are not counted, perhaps they're outside playing, or younger ones, perhaps they're in another room, that sort of thing. So always be aware that nothing is perfect. The windmill at Grandet is the oldest surviving one in the province of Quebec. It was built in 1674 and served as a flour mill for the first 200 or so years, and then became a lighthouse from 1812, which I'm thinking is part of the War of 1812 defense, to 1967. You can visit this windmill as it is now a historical site. I'm always amazed when something my ancestors would have looked at is still present. Somehow, mystically, I think it like bridges the years between them and I to be looking at the same object. It's just kind of a connecting. Pierre-André and Françoise had 13 children. Françoise had her last child at the age of 47, a remarkable achievement, to be sure. Their first son, Jean, died at the age of 10. Second son, Pierre, married Marie-Florence Lambert, dit Champagne, and had four children, two of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Françoise married Jean Zobet, and they had nine children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marguerite married Raymond Schein and had five children, all of whom make it to adulthood. Marie Antoinette married Jean-Baptiste Malbeuf and had eight children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marianne married François Jean-Baptiste Riquet de Laverdure and had 14 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Louis married Marie-Angélique Demers and had 10 children, eight of whom make it to adulthood. Marie-Louise married Claude Jourdain and had eight children, seven of whom made it to adulthood. Jacques, who's actually my seven times great-grandfather, marries Marie-Madeleine Guipelot de Naflaire and has eight children, five of whom make it. Marie-Isabelle marries Pierre Garou de Saint-Ange and has 15 children, seven of whom make it to adulthood. François marries Marie-Thérèse Garou de Saint-Ange and had 14 children, 13 of whom make it to adulthood. Marie-Jeanne marries Charles Biron and does not have any children that we have any knowledge of. And finally, Pierre-Marie marries Marie-Joseph Chevalier and they have 10 children, six of whom make it to adulthood. A rough count makes this, and I actually had to count it, 79 grandchildren of this amazing couple, just for nine great grandchildren and so on and so forth. So I'm just astounded by how many children they had, number one, and then how many children their children had and how many survived. Very, very strong stock. That's all I gotta say. The later years. Pierre-André passes away on the 25th of January, 1713, and was buried in the St. Charles de Roche Cemetery. He dies at the age of 68 years, very respectable. Françoise lives another 23 years, passing away on 13th of April, 1736, at the age of 84. Here's where things can get a little confusing. In the death record, it states that she is 95 years of age. I've studied this theory, and I just think the birth year of 1652 holds up better than advancing her birth year to 1641, because then she would have been 57 when her last child was born. So I think that they thought she was super old. And you know what? 84 years of age at that time was ridiculous to have lived that long. So they probably lost count. You know, maybe she was senile and did not remember. And they guessed, and she probably looked about 100 years old. Now, the church where they were buried, the original Golden Days Roman Catholic Church, an ancient cemetery, was close to the river and flooded. All burials were moved to the cemetery, which reopened in 1840. And with that, we end our number 26 in our Fille du Roi series. And it's been a fascinating journey to witness this very simple couple who created an entire almost dynasty. So I really thank them for their contributions. And we will explore another Fille du Roi and her family in episode number 27. And until then, I will bid you adieu and au revoir. Until next time.